you can see me how you want, but all I'm trying to do at the end of the day is have some moral justice. And I don't know if people find this too extreme to understand, but the idea of students being forced to do something and sort of being robbed of their money in an indirect way because they don't have any other options is very frustrating. I mean, tuition prices are already high enough.
Welcome to Season 2 of Point of View. I'm your host, Sean Rodriguez-Falvey. Today's episode is about food. The Affordable Food Project at Brock University's student union referendum was canceled, suspended until further notice, pending a report from lawyers at Brock University's administration who have said that the liability and legality of third-party ancillary fees have been brought into question, and as such, this referendum cannot be held at this time. So we're going to talk with Oberg Brock's coordinator and one of the leaders in the Affordable Food Project, M. Hepler, as well as we are going to talk to one of the students who initiated the recent awareness about food security at Brock University, Peter Hennen, who is a member of FAST, Food Affordability for Students Today. And we're going to have a conversation with him. As well, in this episode, we're talking with Scott Catt, who is a student from Brock University, who is going to sound off on some of his views on some of the recent political developments at Brock University. We're going to talk about the programming fee, the Fed Up Affordable Food Project, as well as other matters such as the video ban and the Shandor ban. I'm Sean Dorligatvalby, and yes, I do pronounce my name in two different ways. Sometimes I'm Shandor, sometimes I'm Shandor. It's really somewhere in between. It's a Hungarian name. That's rather besides the point, but I did notice that as I say my name, I pronounce it in different ways. And if you say my name in either of those two ways, Shandor or Shandor, I will respond. If you call me Sandor, I'll be like, sup. All right. Stay tuned. It's Brock Radio. On location at Brock University in the Oberg Brock office, that's the Ontario Public Interest Research Group, I'm here to talk with M. Hepler, who is the coordinator at Oberg and has been a spokesperson for the Fed Up referendum by attending council meetings and presenting motions through to council, as well as presenting the student-led petition, which resulted in a referendum being called for February, but then at the most recent BUSAC meeting, that referendum was suspended, and we're here to talk with Mr. Hepler about that. So, how did you start in this project?
I've always had an interest in projects that sort of help students have easier lives and contribute to social justice, and food's an important part of that. Some students spend more money on food than tuition here at Brock, and tuition's already way too expensive. Student debt's a serious issue and a huge impact on how happy and healthy they are.
How did the project known as Fed Up begin?
It was a couple years ago. I believe it was 2011. It came up right after a survey that USA did on campus about how students felt about food services on campus. And they found that only 43% of Brock students were satisfied with food on campus. So we started in an attempt to create a positive outlet for students to work on food-based projects to increase the availability and affordability of food on campus.
In this episode of Point of View, we're talking with Peter Hennen, who started a petition called FAST, the Food Affordability for Students Today. What is the crossover and what is the difference between Fed Up and FAST?
Well, they're both completely independent. They're motivated by similar things, that food on campus can definitely be improved, but they are separate. There's no working relationship between the two projects. But the motivation's the same, that the food on campus is too expensive and it's not at the quality that it should be.
The petition started by Peter, and I believe worked through the Oberg office. So Peter came here to Oberg with his moral stance and then worked with Oberg in terms of how do we actually integrate that into the political structure. So that involved a petition, and that petition resulted in a standing order, political policy on that you can see on busu.net, which says, according to the policy, that BUSU stands for affordable food prices. So let's talk about the cancellation of FedUp. Let's first set the stage, and that means we need to understand that this was a student-led petition which initiated the referendum. So when did you start the petition process? How many signatures did you gain? And how many times have you been to council to explain the FedUp project?
We got just over 1,000 signatures, and we began the process in the fall of 2013 to sort of set the stage for the referendum. Our first point of contact with BUSU would have been in October, and we had the petition printed with the help of the government operations manager in early November, and then we're at council in November, December, and then again in January, both at the first meeting and once again on the 21st.
So the petition for referendum had quorum, which is the minimum number to be binding to make sure that there is a referendum. However, this referendum was canceled. How did you find out that the referendum was in trouble, according to the administration? And then what was the next step that you took?
The first time the administration sort of responded to the project after a few attempts to sit down with them was after the university had closed on December 18th. They had said that there may be a concern around collecting funding for a student-run nonprofit, but they cited no particular policy, and they said they were waiting on a legal opinion. Over a month later, at the January 21st BUSAC meeting, they still hadn't received a legal opinion, but had sent an email to the government operations manager, saying in one line that the referendum could not be held at this time.
And as we understand, that is an unprecedented situation where the university is directly telling BUSU, you can't do this referendum. You attended this council meeting knowing that the administration had provided this direction to BUSU. What did you suggest BUSU do in lieu of there being a referendum?
Well, it wasn't in lieu. I did try to persuade BUSU to, stick to their policies and hold the referendum regardless of the assertion by the university. And a lot of counselors were very vocal and very opposed to halting the referendum. But for similar reasons, I requested that council run an opinion referendum, an opinion question in the upcoming election that asks students whether they're happy with the price of food, level of service, and food options offered by Sodexo at their three largest locations, Market, Lone Burger, and the DQ cafeteria.
What are the next steps for FedUp? What is next? Are we still up in the air until we hear about third-party ancillary fees from the Brock's lawyer?
The project continues to grow. We've been operational for 2 years. The pursuit of funding for the student project just helps us sort of scale everything up and provide better and more service to students. So the project's still growing and volunteers are still coming in droves. But it's just this particular area that is, it's just the referendum specifically that's being halted. So right now we're about to start hiring for the student summer positions.
Is there any other information that you wanted to share with our Brock Radio audience?
We're just hoping to see students become more engaged, whether it's in their local campus media, both at CFBU or Brock TV, the Brock Press. It would be awesome to see students get involved in their student government at BUSU, because there's a lot of power that students have to make their campus a better place. So we'd just love to see them more engaged.
We've been talking with M. Hepler, coordinator at Oprah Brock. Thanks for talking to us. It's January 29th, 2014. I'm Sean Ligatfalvy, reporting for Brock Radio. I'm here with Peter Hennen, a Brock University psych student who started a petition in the spring to advocate for lowering food prices at Brock University. Peter, thank you for joining us.
No problem. My pleasure.
So, Peter, in the spring, what inspired you to start a petition? And let's go through the process of how that turned out for the spring.
Well, it all started in first year when I went to market because, you know, to be honest, the food actually looked good. I believe I bought chicken and rice, but it was, you know, don't hold me on this, but it was around $15. Now, for me, that wasn't a good feeling that I had to pay $15 because I was starving, you know, to have a decent meal. And from that time, I was just thinking, okay, we're going to have to do something about this because I'm not the only one. Like, I'm pretty financially secure, but I know that a lot of people are not as fortunate as me. So I went on and it came second year, and I'm like, okay, a year's already gone. You're going to start now or you're just going to end up flying through university and doing nothing about it. And I hate saying something that I don't end up doing just because I'm really stubborn like that.
So what did you end up doing? You started a petition, and what did that petition ask for at first?
Well, before we did any of that, I went to BUSU and asked, you know, what I can do about this. And at the time, it was very hard to get information just because there was so much to give. You know, people didn't know where to start with me or the system or anything. But I don't remember who, but someone referred me to Olberg. And there I met M, and he basically informed me of all the details and just sat with me and just explained everything step by step and how the system is even structured. From there, we made a petition, and we got it approved by BUSU. And then we got over 500 signatures, even though the petition inquired of students to pay.
So what was the petition asking for at that first iteration?
It was asking students, would you be willing to pay $2 per year, not even per credit, per year, to be able to hire a lobbyist to sort of confront this issue. And that's all we really knew at the time. But even that was good enough for students. And they didn't really ask too much about the detail just because, like, most people, when they're required to pay something, they ask the details, okay? But when we were filling the students, filling the petition with the students, they were eager. You know, some of them would just be like, we're trying to lower food prices. And before we even say, would you like to pay? They would be like, okay, give me that. And they would start signing it. And it would go around and we'd come pick it up on the other side of market with like.
So how did BUSU respond to this proposal? A lobbyist, a $2 per student lobbyist. If I recall, they worked with you to amend that proposal and to change the proposal into something else. Something that didn't involve a perf credit fee and instead was a standing order. So did you get a new petition in order to achieve the standing order to the policy petition that you submitted sometime in March of 2013?
Okay, so we had this petition and we brought it to BUSU for a referendum that could go through. And basically they said, oh, this doesn't seem very realistic because, you know, if every student at Brock pays $2 per year, then that would end up with something around maybe, let's say, we have 18,000 students times that by two. So we would end up with 36,000. And to my understanding at the time, it cost at least $100K to hire a lobbyist. So they said, okay, you know what, but we appreciate the cause and we're going to work with you and we're going to try to see what we can do here. So I said, yeah, sure. You know, all the power to you guys. Like they represent the students. So I totally trust them. And, but after I agreed, sort of, they amended the petition that we had originally, for the referendum, and they took out the word Sodexo. fast is, what Sodexo is. I think it's important to clarify that. And basically, FAST stands for Food Affordability for Students Today. It was started through OPERG, and they also support a different food affordability project called Fed Up. Now, Sodexo, I don't know many people know about Sodexo, but Sodexo was basically this multi-million-dollar company that has a monopoly with the university and owns a lot of the food services like DQ or Marketplace, stuff like that.
And Tim Hortons.
Right, and even Timmy's, yes.
But not the Alumni Center at Union Station in the Busu building.
Right, there are a few, very few services that where you can actually buy food that don't belong to Market, such as the Isaacs, where you could, you know, go to Subway or Noodles, or, like Get Noodles or, you know, Burger King and stuff like that, which is really good. Or you could also go to like Subcetera. There are a few places like that, and that's good. But you know, for the sake of this cause, that's not what we're fighting. Rather, Marketplace, just because they're the ones that are they're the only ones open on weekends. And for a time, actually, we got Busu to open Isaac's on weekends, so Market wouldn't be the only place open then. But it didn't end up staying very long, just because they didn't make enough profit, I'm assuming. But in terms of Market, the fact that it's the only place open on weekend, and the fact that it's one of, if not the most expensive places to buy food on campus, is just, it's like cornering students.
Is Guernsey Market the place where the real food is, the food that has the nutrients?
You know, different people have different opinions of that. In my opinion, I think their food is good. But how, you know, looks can be deceiving, and I'm very aware of that. How this food comes, you know, in that platter, all the stages it goes through to end up on that platter is very important. And with other organizations through OPERG, I've come to learn that, you know, this really matters, because you can get cheaper food, but in a very inhumane way. And at that, I would not take this road. I'd rather things be done humanely, like, you know, if you're going to kill an animal, you know, quick death, not torture it, not squeeze
okay,
it.
Okay, so let me ask you about those who live on campus. Are they the most vulnerable when it comes to diet and food and nutrition? Is it the on-campus people who don't have a kitchen in their own homes who are most vulnerable?
I think the most vulnerable people are actually those that live on campus. Regardless of whether you have the gifted ability to make good food, living on campus, like I said, regardless of whether you can make good food or not, you don't have time to make that food. So living on campus means that you gotta buy when you need to eat. And you, when for some of the campuses or residents, you have a meal plan that you have to get. And when you're hungry, you have to buy and you have to use that. And when there's extra money on it, from one semester to the next or from 1 year to the next, it doesn't accumulate. It just goes back to zero, which is kind of really unfair and unjust.
The meal plan is something that we're going to explore more on the program. I wanted to go back to the spring when I met you at Student Council. You were there presenting a petition for a new policy statement. The policy statement was something to the effect of Busu rejects for-profit food and will lobby Sodexo to provide a list of 5 to 10 nutritious food items for under $5. At that meeting, council amended the standing order, amended the policy statement, and removed the words for-profit and the company name Sodexo. Now, if you go to busuu.net and you click on the standing orders, you can see under the standing orders that there is a food affordability policy under BUSU. So all that said, let's jump forward to this moment. This is the moment when BUSU and BUSAC received an email from the administration saying that the Fed Up referendum should stop. And so I want you to fill in the gaps for me between what your advocacy started in the spring and what has taken place at Oberg in terms of over the fall bringing the Fed Up petition forward. For the listeners, FAST, Food Affordability for Students Today, is the group that you started, and Fed Up is a different entity, and that's the entity that's going for that has been going for referendum. So help tell that story for us.
So the difference between Fed Up and FAST is that Fed Up basically focuses on having different alternatives and more alternatives that are more affordable on campus. And this basically consisted of them having a small cafe, let's say in Mackenzietown. But apparently that was too bold for the university to accommodate. In terms of how we support them, we hand out, you know, the same cards have you seen around, the ones that are green and have a grid and an apple on it. You know, everybody's seen them around. We've handed out thousands of them. Basically, the students, as they see it, is that we're trying to have cheap food. Whether by means of having more affordable food on campus or lowering current prices, those are two different routes. But by no means are they sort of like, what, you know, what basically how it is that they support each other. You know, I support them with everything that we do, because ultimately it's a very, very similar goal. And this means that if one succeeds, then it will be much easier for the other to be accomplished. Fed Up has been ultimately disapproved by, I should say, the university. Because even though BUSU is the one that said no, they were sort of crippled by the university to say that. What I don't want people to assume is that FAST is basically run by an organization like Oberg. Oberg supports us and helps and helped us to start, just as it did Fed Up. But what I believe is different between Fed Up and FAST is that with FAST, it's run by students. I am no political sort of, like, I have no political experience, if you will, and you can call it what you want. You can see me how you want, but all I'm trying to do at the end of the day is have some moral justice. And I don't know if people find this too extreme to understand, but the idea of students being forced to do something and sort of being robbed of their money in an indirect way because they don't have any other options is very frustrating. I mean, tuition prices are already high enough. And that's a completely different issue entirely. The fact is, people need to stop thinking that this is a hopeless cause, you know, how can anybody stand to such multi-million dollar giants and attempt or believe to want to accomplish anything? But, you know, I think it's extremely important to not underestimate the power of 18,000 students. And perhaps not all agree for whatever external reasons they may have. But I can assure you that the majority of students, if you give them just a taste of what it feels like, of this moral justice, affordable food, they will take it without hesitation. And at the moment, we're sort of trying to build something, you know, that they hold on to. And I've had this question many times, you know, what is this something? You know, I cannot see what the end is. I cannot see the journey. All I can see is the goal, which is to have affordable food on campus, and the first step, which is to build a community that students can talk with each other with, can devise plans with, of ways they can stand up for their rights. And this is, at some sense, fighting against discrimination. Just because you're a student and you don't have political power and, at least it seems like you don't, you shouldn't be abused, in this case, financially.
We're talking with Peter Hennin, a psychology student from Brock University and the founder of Food Affordability for Students Today. Where can we find you on Facebook?
Well, there is a Facebook group page. It's called Food Affordability for Students Today. Or you can actually just add me on Facebook, Peter Hennin. And my last name is spelled H-E-N-E-N.
That's facebook.com/lowerfoodprices at Brock. I'm Sean Ligafalvi for Brock Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Brock Radio. You're listening to Point of View. I'm your host, Shandor Ligatfalvi, and we are in the studio with a conversation with Brock student Scott Catt, who has been paying attention to this year's political developments at Brock University and has asked to join me on the program to talk about some of the things that's been happening. This is a conversation that we're going to have, focusing on some of the most recent developments.
The first point I really wanted to focus on was the development that the VPSS, the Vice President of Student Services, is bringing in via referendum in March, which is the $6 student access fee, in which each student is asked to pay $6 a credit to help finance next year's Frost Week and Frosh Week.
Yes, so there's the programming fee levy, which is a referendum that's happening in February. The voting begins in the second week of February, and the results will be announced on February 13th. It was proposed by the BUSU executive at the December meeting and was approved for referendum. It was proposed as a $120 per first-year fee, but after some feedback from council, council amended it to be $32 per student, and that breaks down to about $6.50 per credit, which would create a $500,000 fund. Of their budget, $180,000 would be spent on orientation week, And I think that that number has perhaps caused you to raise your eyebrows a little bit.
Most definitely. As a student of Brock for about 4 years now, I'd paid for my all-access gold pass in my first year. I went to the O-Week events, and as fun as they were, I don't understand why the rest of Brock, who normally would not participate in such events for first years, is asked to pay for these events when we, who have already been through the first year, have already paid our due.
When the fee was proposed, I was at Student Council, and I asked Liv Mariano, the Vice President of Student Services, who was proposing the referendum to Council, how much was currently being made by Access Gold. Access Gold is sold to incoming first years during Smart Start, and is about $85 or $90 per card. And what it does is it grants you a 10% discount at the Busu food and gives you access to some O-Week events. They said that they sold $150,000 worth of Access Gold cards in 2013 and had about $60,000 worth of sponsorships. So that would be $180,000 currently being spent on programming, whereas this fee would be $500,000 to be spent per year on events such as O-Week, Frost Week, as well as all through the year. You can go to busu.net and visit the December 3rd meeting minutes, click on supplemental information, and download the zip file. And there you'll see the presentation that was made by Liv Mariano and Jimmy Norman, who presented together their new proposal for this programming fee. At the time, they said it was something they learned from COCA, the Canadian Organization of Campus Activities. They went in the summer, Liv and Chris Green and Jimmy Norman and Chuck Thompson took a trip to Halifax, where they participated in a week-long conference in Halifax, where they were exposed to what they called the best practices of running events on campus. And so they say, they said at that meeting, at the December 3rd meeting, that the inspiration for this fee came in part from the consultation they gained when they attended that conference.
In recent news, from what I remember, many St. Mary's University of Halifax has been ostracized and attacked and criticized for their O-Week celebrations earlier in the year. Now, what I ask is, as a student in the humanities who has had their seminars cut, their class sizes cut, and the available time with professors and teaching assistants cut down, how can we justify paying $6.50 a credit for parties when students aren't getting the education that is requested and needed to truly learn at a university level?
Meanwhile, we have a BUSU that is intending to spend $180,000 in a single week for orientation week, but has quite a bit of issue with spending $120,000 in a year for Brock Radio, as well as comparing the amounts of money. The Fed Up referendum, which was $2.80 a credit, which was canceled last week by the administration through BUSAC, would be about $200,000 a year. Their primary mission to provide calories to the public. Meanwhile, twice as much money is going to providing parties to the public. And I think that might be the comparison that you're drawing.
Most definitely. I know that, as a student, I was appalled that we can't even feed the starving students, the truly starving students, and yet we're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for parties. I mean, you brought this up, that the company who provides Brock meal plans and services runs a monopoly in the school. I mean, the only place where a student can go on campus to eat without paying towards this company is the Brock University Student Union itself. And how can, we're not even giving money to anybody who really needs it. I mean, Brock University Student Union has proven in the past that the money that they garner, that they get, is not always used in the best interest of the students.
The referendum that's happening in February for the programming fee does have a no side, so there will be a legitimate debate and campaign process. The speaker of the no side is a man named Jason Tucker, a part-time student. And on the yes side is BUSU's Vice President of Student Services, Liv Mariano. We're expecting to see them have debates on the issue. And with any luck, there will be a open intellectual analysis of the fee, and a fair debate will be able to take place so that the public can make a fair assessment on whether or not this is something that they want to see happen. This is a public that said yes to twice to the $20 per credit student life fee, but it's also a public that said no to the $1.50 Brock Radio fee. It remains to be seen if this is a public that will sit by and let the administration say no to the Fed Up Affordable Food Project, which is a $2.80 fee, which was canceled. Again, it was canceled last week at BUSAC. And a variety of questions are still remaining. We need to know a few things about how that happened. From our prior understanding of the legislation of BUSU, once a petition has been submitted to council and is to be sent to referendum, it's never happened before that council has stepped in and canceled, or in their words, suspended a referendum. At this point, BUSU has not provided a statement to the public. There's been no explanation, nor even an announcement that there even was a cancellation. The first media entity to talk about the cancellation of Fed Up, of the Affordable Food Project, was Brock Radio on my program, and as well as on Twitter. Adam Marshall 409 on Twitter. He's the Brock TV news producer. He was the first place that we heard about these issues in terms of the cancellation of the Affordable Food Project referendum, and there hasn't been anything from the university in terms of an official statement. Now, what the email said when it was sent to the speaker of BUSAC, Josh Stone, it said that this referendum cannot run at this time. The reason being is because Brock University explains that they are looking at the legality and liability of third-party ancillary fees. So the way it works is BUSU is the students' union, and Division I collects $17 per credit. It also collects $7 per credit for Strategic Expansion Fund, $2.50 for the BUSAC Fund, and they coordinate a variety of other things, such as $3 per credit for Brock TV, which is also a division of BUSU. However, Brock Radio is Brock Radio Inc., Brock Press is also a separate corporation. Oberg is separate. The Brock Student Sexual Violence Support Center is also separate. So all of these separately incorporated organizations that receive a per credit ancillary fee have now been questioned. And the language that the administration used was, again, the legality and liability of third party ancillary fees are being looked at by a lawyer. And until they hear back from their lawyer, this referendum, the Affordable Food Project, cannot run at this time. So when hearing all of that news as a student, and we should talk about what your major is, how do you react to that?
As a philosophy student, former philosophy student, I should say, I have in the process of switching, I'm appalled that, here's the code of conduct and these rules that we are supposed to abide by as students and as members of the Brock University Student Union, and yet these rules that have been set out by the administration and this agreement that is with the administration and the student union has been almost completely denied by the administration. And I question how effective our administration can be, especially now when they are in debt and are questioning the legality of their own documents.
Do you think that we should take it at face value? Is really the central issue? I mean, maybe you're not the expert, but in your opinion, is it really the central issue about whether or not the third-party ancillary fees, the liability and legality, or is it really more about the food service provider having a monopoly and the fed-up affordable food project being challenging that monopoly? Is that more central, or yeah? So what's your opinion on that?
I would tend to agree with that idea that the monopoly held by the food services at Brock are threatened by this campaign. And I would not be surprised if there is a vested interest by the administration to keep FedUp out of Brock University because they are attached to the profits or the revenue of this food service company. As you brought up a few times, the company is tied to many other nefarious types of business. And I don't know if I can necessarily support that with my money.
So what you're talking about there is what's commonly known and may not be known by many Brock students is that the food service provider at Brock University, Sodexo, their primary business is to provide food services to prisons all across the world. They're part and parcel with the privatization of prisons in America and across the world. So as a reporter, I can report that there has been a lot of criticism from students across America for the last 15 years about Sodexo and the way in which they provide their service to the students, as well as their business model, which involves the privatization of the prison industrial complex. And that is a condition that saw, since 1990, 1 million prisoners in the States, and in the year 2000, 2.2 million prisoners. This is a very interesting and almost scary topic, because here we are using the free airwaves as members of the public, talking about a multi-billion dollar corporation whose primary profit center is the prison complex. And this is the same corporation that Brock students rely on at Guernsey Market and at the other places, Tim Hortons. This is the corporation that has just been renewed last year for a 10-year contract. So Sodexo's contract was renewed only last year, and Brock University will keep Sodexo. The vast majority of the rest of the universities rely on Aramark or an internal food service provider. So Aramark is the bigger food service provider in the university food industry, and Sodexo is the smaller one, but Sodexo is very large because they have quite a bit of partnership with prisons across the world.
Every year I have been here, there has been an issue with the staff not being paid enough, or an issue of not having enough money to continue certain things. What bothers me the most, though, is that the university is in debt now. We have just built a new medical science building, and yet BUSU wants to build a new alumni center and is looking to finance that. But where is that money coming from is the question.
So at the January 22nd meeting, a referendum that had been proposed since the summer but was canceled in September was brought back, and that is the football stadium. So they're going to build a turf field, and this March there will be a referendum for asking the students to extract from the Strategic Expansion Fund. The Strategic Expansion Fund is $7 per credit. That equals about $500,000 a year, and they're asking for $200,000 a year for the next 5 years to provide Brock University with $1 million to help building the turf field. So that is another referendum that's coming up. BUSU wants to help the administration build a sports stadium, and that is the project that we will hear more about in the March referendum period, as well as leading up to it. In our archive at POV Radio, if you look at, I believe it's September 17th episode, our interview with the BUSU executives, we can hear directly from Cooper Millard about the turf field, how it was started, what was the holdup at the time, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more about it soon. Is that news to you in terms of the...
Very much so. I know that the Brock student life fee was considered to might be able to finance a stadium, a football stadium. Now, I personally like watching NFL on television. I enjoy football, but I just don't think it's feasible for Brock to depend and rely on and basically finance a football stadium without the infrastructure already there. And so it's not just a stadium they're building either. I think a lot of students don't understand, oh yeah, we'll have a football team, we'll have a stadium. It's more, a lot more than that. You have to hire coaching staff, you have to hire trainers and medical physicians. You have to keep the players physically fit. You have to make sure they're doing their work. You need resources. And these are resources I just don't see where they're coming from other than the students. And I personally do not want to pay for a football stadium that I'll never be able to sit in.
Well, part of the student life fee goes directly to sustaining athletics. So again, if you want to look in our archive, you can see the interview we had with the administrators of the student life fee, including Robert Hilson, who's the director of athletics at Brock University. He explains that a significant portion of the student life fee goes towards buses, athletics, trainers, and a variety of other funding that goes to actually towards athletics at Brock University. So to answer your question, where is the money coming from for the support staff of an enlarged athletics component at Brock University? That answer is the student life fee, which was passed in March of last year.
Well, with that question answered, then if we have this student life fee and the BUSU is, this referendum is coming to ask students to pay more for a football team, why can't we ask students to pay more to make sure every student is fed? Why can't we ask students to pay more to make sure that every class that needs a seminar has a seminar? I mean, first, your students don't necessarily think about these issues until they're faced with the problems of these issues. And as great as it is to have school spirit and to think about this place as more than just a place of learning, it is the central focus of students to come to universities to learn and to achieve a degree that then can be used to help them later in life. Now, I don't understand, or not necessarily understand, I don't agree with asking students to pay for a new stadium, nor do I agree with pulling the money from this expansionary fee that can be used for new facilities and new useful academic buildings.
One of the things that's kept Brock Radio off campus for the last 10 years, if not politics, then has been simply space. There's nowhere on campus for this radio studio to be. Also, when the Brock Student Sexual Violence Support Center became a part of the referendum process and was debated, one of the issues raised is, where is it actually going to be? There's a lack of space on campus, and this has been acknowledged for some time. And it has been a priority of BUSU, at least in terms of the leadership's communications, to talk about how important it is for there to be a new student center. So this year's BUSU is promising a new student center committee. They've also promised to develop surveys. So they want the public to tell BUSU exactly what they want in that new student center. Of course, at the rate at which things are going, it'll be 5 to 7 years until a new student center is built. The location of that student center, we're told, and you can look at our archive, listen to the interview with Cooper Millard and the interview with Roland Ehrman, said that Weather Station Field is still a go. So from my point of view, in terms of my opinion, I think that the leadership should be giving us more vision about, let's build that student center and let's do it as soon as possible. It seems to be that that's what's in the students' best interest. However, a football stadium seems to be more in the administration's best interest. It's in the best interest of the administration, at least according to their strategy, because that will enhance enrollment. That will create an opportunity for an athletics-based culture opposed to perhaps a research-based culture, or however you want to phrase that. So, I mean, that's just me sort of jumping in with my opinion. And so that sort of raises the central thesis of my work. Whose student union is it anyway? Is it the student's student union, or is it the administration's student union? And that, I think, speaks to all the issues that we've been talking about in this conversation, including the cancellation of FedUp. The executives at the last council meeting all sided with the administration in terms of, yes, we are going to cancel this referendum. But a great number of the councillors were actually quite concerned about it. Adam Marshall tells us that Calvin Eadie and Andrew Campbell were both very adamant about pushing the referendum forward. Members of the council are very much having that conversation. Did they win the debate? Well, not necessarily, but I think it's very important to recognize that there are members of council who do think that this should have gone through, that this referendum should happen. And some of the comments I've heard have been, this is making Boussac the bad guy. Instead of Boussac allowing the referendum to go through and then the administration being forced to say, no, we're not going to receive this fee that you said yes to, then the administration would be the ones who are responsible for blocking the fee. But now we have Boussac stepping in, following directions from the executive, who were following directions from the administration. And that, to me, and to others, this is what I've been, the kind of conversations I've been having as I was on campus today to do all of the reporting about this issue, is that it's Boussou just did the administration's dirty work. And that's sort of some of the interpretation that we're hearing. Now, at the same time, I think it's very important that we say we haven't yet heard from Boussou. We have no official statements from Boussou. We haven't yet heard from the administration. We have no official statements from the administration. So what we have now is a developing story, a story that is emerging as we learn about it. So if a week from now comes along and we've discovered that some of the questions we've been raising were barking up the wrong tree, that's just because that's the process we have to go through in terms of emerging stories. So as of right now, what we understand is the administration sent an email to Boussac's speaker, Josh Doan, and said that this referendum cannot run at this time. Mr. Doan passed that through to the executives who advocated for suspending the referendum. Now the referendum is suspended. It will not be running in this February, but a ad hoc committee proposed by Kevin Wilson will see, he's a student senator, will see a group of questions being proposed in March. The questions such as, I don't know what those questions will even be, but they are food-related questions. So we'll have a student survey referendum coming up in March about food. The topic of food will continue to be debated. This has been a topic that we've been following. Actually, the very first report on brockbug.com was about food security, because at the time, one of the people we're interviewing on this episode of Point of View, Peter Hennen, he had submitted a petition to Boussac. Boussac edited that petition. The petition said that we oppose for-profit food on campus. Boussac removed the phrase for-profit. Of course, you can find that deep in our archives at brockbug.com. So I wanted to ask you about some of the other things you've observed in the last few months. This has been a year that has seen Boussac ban video in a vote that went through 7 in favor, 5 opposed, and 17 abstentions. They banned video primarily because video was being used at brockbug.com following the loss of the Brock Radio referendum. The following meeting, the video ban was repealed as members of the public were outraged by it, but instead they installed a ban on me. 2 weeks later, I got a letter saying that my behavior in and out of council was unacceptable and that their top priorities are the physical safety and psychological well-being of their councillors. So that's what all took place up until prior to the cancellation of the referendum. Then the referendum has been cancelled, and that sort of brings us up to speed. That's some of the stuff we have been observing throughout this year, and I know that you've been observing it as well. And came down here to talk on Brock Radio about your perspective on those issues. So what is your perspective on those wide range of issues?
The first issue is the issue of the video ban. And I think it was just, they didn't even have the legal right to do that. I mean, Boussac has a group of elected officials who have chosen to be in the public eye. This is an active and conscious choice to be in the public eye. So them banning video, I think, was morally wrong. In fact, they had a ethical duty to allow the information that was being exchanged at these meetings. They had an ethical duty to share that information with everybody of the Brock University Student Union.
Let me just quickly cut you off there, because one of the things they'll say as well, Shandor, you're not a member of BUSU, you don't pay for tuition fees, so therefore I don't have a right to be in the room, but I disagree, and I disagree for a few reasons. One, I'm a Canadian, and I'm an Ontarian, and as a taxpayer, the tax money is actually what built Brock University, and the tax money is the major part of the operating budget. So as a citizen of the country, someone who hasn't been charged with a crime, hasn't been convicted of any harassment, I believe I have a full right to enter that room regardless of my student status.
Regardless of your student status, you are still providing a service to the student, a service that I believe every student has a right to. You're providing information, although from a, like every other journalist and person in the media, you're providing it from a viewpoint. But that viewpoint is necessary for the larger discussion. I want to bring up the fact that here we have this expansion fee that is used to build new buildings, build new upgrade classrooms and facilities. And yet we just spent millions on a new research building. And now the administration is saying that they want to take it in a different direction, that they want to have a more athletic-based economy, essentially. They want to have people enroll not for the academic reasons, but to play on their sports teams. And I think that is completely against what the university is supposed to stand for. And as a student, I don't want to have to pay for these people to come to Brock to play sports. I think if you want to play sports, you should pursue that. And I'm not trying to diss anybody who does. I just rather would not like to pay for it myself. The third thing is the ban on you yourself was unconstitutional, not necessarily just because of your student status or, you know, or the fact that you were harassing, in quote, air quotes, these public figures, but it also, you have to be prepared for this job. BUSAC, BUSU, these executive members and these representatives should know full well that this is a job where you will be criticized and will be questioned why you are doing something. And you are a person who asks those hard questions, those questions that they don't want to answer. And so part of the video ban, I believe, was to avoid answering the hard questions that you are so fond of asking. And that is why I think you were so necessary to the student discussion around the Brock politics, around the Brock administration, because you're not pulling punches. You're not in their pay grade. You're not being paid by them, much like the Brock Press, BUSU.
Well, thank you for that. Actually, it's heartening to see the Brock Press coming around on some of these topics. At the beginning of the year, I was very hard on the Brock Press, and I think with merit. But as the year goes on, we see that their culture is becoming more educated about governance, and they are beginning to see the importance of covering governance issues at Brock University. So just to underline all of this stuff, the reason that a student union exists in the first place is because in the early 90s, the province of Ontario determined that it was inappropriate for an administration to levy a non-tuition-based ancillary fee without consent from the public. So the entire democratic structure of a student's union exists to provide consent, the consent to have a fee go through. Of course, that isn't just a absurd statement. Consent involves being informed. It involves developing a rapport with the individuals in question, basically the members. And at Brock University, there is no rapport, and there is what I call an information blockade. I call it an information blockade because if you visit busu.net and you look for an agenda, you might not find it. At the January 22nd meeting, this last week's meeting, they didn't post the agenda for over a week. This means that members of the public couldn't show up to a meeting. They didn't know what was happening and didn't know what was happening at that meeting. In the week since that meeting, there's been no public statement about what happened at that meeting. The governance will point to the media and say it's the media's job to bridge the gap between the public and the government with information. And in spirit, I agree, and that's why I'm participating in that process by having a website and having this radio program. So the information blockade will fall. I feel very confident that the work that we're doing and that the work that others are doing now, including at Brock TV and Brock Press, are going to reach the public, and the public will begin to start considering some of the topics that have been raised. This year has been a fundamentally different year than any other year I've observed at BUSU. It is really a very different BUSU. We don't have the full story yet. And this is journalism, which means the story emerges as we learn things. So I ask of the listenership to tune in to this program, which is Thursdays at 2, to visit us at brockbug.com and visit me on Twitter at POV Radio, as well as visit busu.net and ask them questions. Send them emails. One of the things that I've heard from the executives has been, look, we didn't get any feedback from the public, so there is no public. The public has no opinion. They act as if I'm alone in criticizing them. And if that's the case, then I'm really asking the public, send them your feedback. They will receive those messages. And honestly, just 5 or 10 emails on a certain topic can probably sway someone's opinion. And what is your sort of closing thought for this conversation, Scott?
As students, you have a right to know what is being done with the money you pay towards your education. You have a right to know where your money is being put, who it is being given to, what it is supporting. And I think we as students, especially I, have been complacent in the past, but no longer. I refuse to let people decide where my money's going and why it's going there. One last thing, you have a choice. They cannot run this business, because it is that, a business. They cannot run it without students.
We've been talking with Scott Catt, a Brock University student. Thanks so much for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.